Well, praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 6. Amen. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. Very familiar verse of Scripture tonight. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. I want to just preach a little bit about God's grace. And we talked about some things this morning. If you were not in the service here this morning, get the tape, get the CD, and listen to it. Amen. Very powerful word of God that will help us. Amen. Because we stand at a high place here tonight. You say, well, I don't feel like it. That's the problem right there, is you're going by your feelings. We're not supposed to go by our feelings alone. We go by the Word of God. Because our feelings come and go. We have highs and lows all the time with our feelings because that's the way God made us. But there is no highs and lows in the Word of God. We don't open the Bible every time we read the Word of God and God just puts in there how He's feeling that day. Amen. The Word of the Lord is forever settled in heaven. And that's what we live by, is the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. God bless you. Father, we thank you for the Word tonight. We ask you to anoint it. We ask you to speak to our hearts. We ask you to touch us tonight. And we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 You may be seated tonight if you will help me. Praise the Lord. The truth of the matter is tonight, and I alluded to that already, is that all of us live with weaknesses and deficiencies. They have handicapped parking spaces, but the truth of the matter is we're all handicapped in some way. There's not a one of us that is perfect in every area of life. We have weaknesses and deficiencies. And in fact, the Bible says that we were made this way, not willingly. We didn't really want it to be this way, but that's the way it is. I don't like it when I'm weak. I don't like it when I'm down. I don't like it when things go against me. But I have no choice. There have been times that I've said, Lord, just let me stop the world and let me off, please. And He never did. The world just kept turning. Amen. I was not able to step off and get a reprieve for a little while, and so had to figure out something else to do with the situation. And I found out over the course of time that God helps us in all of our difficulties if we will rely on His grace. Amen. And many times we fall short because we fail to look upward for our strength. Amen. Our strength does not come within. It does not come through logic. It does not come through our reasoning, but it comes by the grace of God. Amen. The very first mention of grace is right here in Genesis 6 and 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God needed a man, and it's going to be that way in every generation. God needs a man. Amen. God needs someone that He can work through. He could do it all Himself, but He didn't. He didn't choose to do it that way. He did not create the world with homes and roads and cars. He let us figure all that out from the basic elements that He provided to us. Amen. And through prayer and through diligence, God opened the door of knowledge. And here we are today in our high-tech society, and we have so many, many things. Amen. And tonight we needed a song on the iPad, and somebody said, oh, hold on, I'll just send it to you. And it popped up on the iPad. I just looked at him, and I said, okay. You know what? Back in the late 1800s, if you said, I've got a great idea, we're going to send messages through the air. Amen. And all you got to do is push a button, it'll go through the air, and the other person will receive it. They would probably tarred and feathered you and said, you're crazy. Amen. They would have discounted you, but now today we live with those things, and if it doesn't happen in less than 2 seconds, we're going to be upset. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. We expect so much out of life in our generation. And what we need to do is not expect so much out of life, but expect so much out of God. Amen. And out of the grace of God. God was looking for a man here, and he needed a man like he always does. A man that will step up and do the work of God. And do the work of God without fear. Do the work of God with courage in his heart. And stick with it until the job is finished. Amen. And the only one that was available that we read about here in the Word of God was one man on the face of the entire world, and that was Noah. Amen. Noah walked with God, and Noah was perfect. Noah was spiritual. Noah was a good man, and he walked with God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I need grace tonight. 1 Corinthians 1 and 26, here is the reality of the situation. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many, everybody said not many, not many men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So we have the reality of it here, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. And so when God calls, he does not call the high and the mighty. He does not call not very many wise, not very many noble, not very many high and accomplished people, because they would take the glory away from God. But God takes a Moses who does not know how to talk and uses him. God takes a Noah who's never built a boat in his life and builds a gigantic, massive boat that was to the saving of his house and the saving of everything that had breath in it. What a mighty God we serve tonight. And it is the will of God that no flesh should glory in his presence. Somebody said amen. And this is where our faith couples itself with grace. Amen. It couples itself with grace. You say, I have faith in God. Well, then what we need to do is expect to lean upon the grace of God. And when we lean upon the grace of God, we're able to do things that we could never do before. When we lean upon the power of the grace of God, then we have the power to live right and the power to do the will of God. Amen. God will never call you to do something that he will not empower you to do. But mark it here tonight, God rarely calls people to do anything that are qualified. He rarely does. He rarely calls the qualified, but he calls those that walk with him by faith. For without faith it is impossible to please him. And we know tonight that when we believe God, we receive the power of God. Acts 1 and 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. He said in Mark 16 and 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. My, y'all are good at the scriptures here tonight. I know because you've read it and you've heard it preached from. Thank God for the gospel tonight. So where does the power of the grace of God originate? And I hope that you don't discount this here tonight, because it doesn't matter how long you live. It does not matter how long you've been in the church or how long you will be in the church. Amen. We must always, always, always go back to the simplicity. We must always go back to the simple things. We cannot add to God's work. We cannot add to the Word of God, but we must continually go back to the simplicity of the Word of God. And the simplicity of the Word of God is the gospel. Now, I know you've already labeled the message now. He's going to preach the gospel. No, what I'm going to do is try to help us here tonight to see where the grace of God comes from. Amen. It does come from the simplicity of the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1 and 16, and you talk about a powerhouse for God, that's all he talked about was the gospel. He didn't go into writing a book about programs to help you have revival. And I'm not against those things. We need to be organized, and we need to have fresh new ideas to reach the lost. I believe in that. I really do. But if we get to the place where all we do is try to figure out some way to motivate people to do the work of God, we're always going to be at a loss. Amen. Now, I hope we're listening here tonight, because I'm telling you, it always goes back to prayer. It always goes back to fasting. Praise God. It always goes back to the basics of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Amen. And so when we are born again, like the scriptures tell us, repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, grace is given. And when grace was given, it did a marvelous work. Amen. A powerful work. I remember one of the young men in the church that I got saved in, and his name is leaving me at the very moment, but he was a sinner without God. And he worked with a man who had newly come to the Lord, and he was very excited. That's what always inspires me about new converts. Amen. And I want to be a new convert all the days of my life. Yes, I want to grow and I want to become mature in Him, but I don't ever want to leave that childhood attitude. Amen. Unless you're like a child, you can't enter into the kingdom. We're never going to get grown up in God where we can sit and just fold our hands and say, I think it ought to be done this way or that way or the other way. Amen. I think what we need to do is we need to go back, like we sang tonight, to our first love. And the first love that we had was, God saved me. God is real. Amen. The Holy Ghost is real. And everybody needs what I have, and I want to tell them about it. Well, praise God. And when we are born again, grace is given. Think about it. I'm still trying to remember his name. He came to the Lord. He worked with a man that was already in the church, new convert, and they told Jim Healy. And I knew it was going to come to me in a minute here. And Jim was working on this job, and he said, all the men on the job said, watch out for that one guy right there. He'll talk to you about God. Just watch out for him. And they pointed at this new convert. And he said one day, he told me this himself, he said one day he bent over to pick up a box. He was working, and he said there was a voice behind him that said, have you ever felt the power of the Holy Ghost? And he froze in place. And he turned around and looked, and there was Dave right there behind him, Dave Goshner. And he didn't know what to say. And most of us would say, well, we need to be dignified about this, and we need to have a 10-week seminar, and we need to teach you a Bible study. Well, I believe in that. I believe in all of that. I believe in grounding people and all of those kinds of things. But oftentimes, after the course of time, we hide behind our programs. Amen. Amen. We hide behind our ministries that we have set up. And it is very easy to get into a routine. And routines are all right. I'm not criticizing that tonight. But it is not good if we lose the original experience that we had when we first came to God. And Jim finally came to church, and when he got baptized, He said that he had many allergies. He could not eat potatoes. He would break out in hives, and there were many foods that he could not eat because of these allergies. Had been that way all his life. And when he got baptized, there was something about the gospel. Amen. It's not just a ceremonial thing where we go down in the water and we come back up. Praise God. What literally takes place is the power of the grace of God. And it's not dependent upon where you're at with God. It's dependent upon your faith. And if you're just an old rotten sinner, all you've done all your life is sin and do everything that is wrong, when you come to faith in God, that faith is going to motivate you to obey the Word of God. And when you go down in the water, you don't have anything to brag about. You don't have a position in the church. Amen. You don't have anything that you can lean on to say, well, I'm this, that, and the other. I got my usher badge, and it's got my name on it. That tells you where I'm coming from. Amen. I've got my deacon name on there. I've got my whatever name on my lapel when I come to church. Somebody I saw one time as part of another group of people, and they came to a family meeting, and it said, Sister Wood. Amen. And I thought, well, okay, that's your name, Sister. Amen. And you know what? We can hide behind our religion, and we can hide behind those things. But what we need to do is go back to the original and understand what God did for us in the very beginning, that God is wanting to do for us right now. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. That went over like a lead balloon. Let's try it again here tonight. Amen. In Acts chapter 3, there were some new converts, Peter and John. Don't tell me that they were seasoned ministers and men of God. No, but they had walked with the Lord, hadn't they, for about 3+ years. And they walked with the Lord. They came to the temple at the hour of prayer. And the Bible said there was a lame man there. I wonder if Peter and John were talking to each other on the way to church. And they saw that need right there. And they said, you know what? We've heard the gospel. We've received the Holy Ghost. Let's pray for this guy. Let's just believe God right now. I know they had walked with the Lord. I know they were a part of those that Jesus sent out, but Jesus was with them, and now seemingly they were on their own, and he was not physically there to talk to them. And he looked at him, and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now I'll tell you what, that's grace in action right there. Amen. And I've been guilty of this. Lord, let your will be done. And when I pray for folks, that kind of gives us an out, you know. And if it doesn't happen, then we can say, well, it must be the will of God. But they just said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and he pulled him. Amen. Now, I don't know how big he was, but if he pulled him hard enough, he could have pulled him over on his face if nothing happened. Could have been an embarrassing situation. Amen. But no, he grabbed him by the hand. Amen. One time I was preaching, I got mixed up. I said he grabbed him by the ankle. Praise God. But he grabbed him by the hand and he pulled him. And his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And the Bible said that he folded his hands and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, thank you, God. We are so blessed today to have your presence. And we thank you today, Lord, for your magnificent healing power. In Jesus' name, amen. That's what he did, right? No, that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that when he began to come up, all of a sudden he felt strength in his knees and his ankle bones, and maybe it was popping and cricking, and he could feel an unseen hand massaging his feet, and he took a couple steps. He realized that for the first time in his life, he could walk. And brother, he didn't just walk, he leaped. I'm not even going to try it tonight. Amen, because I'll be going to the chiropractor in the morning. Amen. But he leaped and he praised God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. He leaped and he praised God because he was made completely whole, and he was lifting his voice and he was magnifying God and he was giving God the praise. Amen. He didn't know what happened to him or how it happened theologically. He didn't have a whole lot of doctrine and all of that in his mind. Oh, praise God. He just accepted the grace of God. And folks, I'm here to preach to us tonight that we're either going to accept the grace of God or we are going to reject the grace of God. Praise the Lord. I heard one of our elder ministers, someone told me about this the other day, and it impressed me. I believe it was Brother Pearson. We were talking about different things, and he was talking about someone that fell away, and they asked one of the elder ministers that was well known at the time, has since passed away, and they said, "How is it that this can take place?" He said, "The reason that this individual fell away is because they got to a place where they rejected the grace of God." I never heard that before. We make excuses, don't we? Well, this happened and that happened and it's not right and this isn't right and that isn't right. But he didn't say that. He didn't say he got caught up in a web or that he got tangled up in a situation. No, he said he got to the place where he had rejected the grace of God. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought that the old man of God was wise. Amen. And I accepted that word, amen, that I have an opportunity tonight to accept the grace of God or to reject the grace of God. Noah accepted the grace of God, and guess what God did? When he accepted the grace of God, he gave him a hammer and a saw. Now go do it, son. Amen. Or he could have rejected it and said, "Lord, I don't have a resume that's good enough for this. I don't know how to even make a board, let alone build a boat," or a ship, rather. Amen. But God's grace, every step of the way, grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In Him is wisdom and knowledge of everything. He knows how to build. He's the greatest builder that ever was and ever will be. He built a universe. He built a world. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. God built us the way we are. We did not evolve by some supernatural thing in nature. We were created when God said, "Let there be." We came into existence when God drew the form of a man in dirt and blew into his nose, amen, into his nostrils, the breath of life. Praise God. That's how great our God is tonight. And I'm here to preach to us tonight that God has not changed in the last 25 years. Praise the Lord. The grace of God that brought this church into existence is the same grace of God that will produce a tremendous revival. The grace of God that healed in the past is still the God that will heal tonight and into the future. Amen. The grace of God is the grace of God that we saw of people coming in off the street and praying through and living for God. God miraculously opening doors for people, and they accepted the truth and they received the word of God and they were baptized in His name. That includes each and every one of us here tonight. Amen. That includes each and every one of us here tonight. You say, "Well, I was raised in the church." Probably your parents weren't raised in the church. And if they were, somewhere down the line, somebody was not raised in the church. And you're here tonight because of the grace of God. I stand here tonight by the grace of God. You stand here tonight by the grace of God. Amen. And it is the grace that has blessed you with the nice suit you've got on. It is the grace of God that's blessed you with the nice dress you've got on tonight, ladies. Amen. It is the grace of God that has given us what we have in our church. And I love our church, and I'm thankful for our church. Well, praise the Lord. You know where it came from? It came from the grace of God. I'm talking about the gospel. The very first message I ever preached here was back almost 25 years ago now. And I stood behind a little skinny pulpit that was 12 inches wide and 12 inches deep. And it had a little board on the top of it. And there was a shelf in there with a Radio Shack amplifier. And we had a couple of little bitty speakers. The roof leaked. And everything was in disarray. It looked like an abandoned church. The sign out front had wooden letters that were cut out by hand, and they had been in there for so long that some of them had broken off and the letters had fallen over, and nobody fixed it. I'm not being critical of the people that was here before me. Please don't misunderstand me. But that's what we took. That's where we were. When we moved into the church, we didn't have cabinets. It was the kitchen. The kitchen over here, it was our kitchen. And when we moved in, or when we came to look at the church, there were no cabinets in there. Oh, there was plywood, a plywood top with some boards going down and a few shelves and a piece of cloth hanging over the front of it. And you pulled the cloth back and got it out. The sink, I wish I would have kept the sink. It was about that thick of soapstone. It was a soapstone sink. Amen. I really wished I would have kept it. And, I'm telling you what, it was crude. I'm thankful for the church in Hayesville. They helped us put in some cabinets and a new sink and carpet. And we did a few things so it was halfway livable. And I'll tell you what, it was the grace of God. Totally, completely the grace of God. And I stood behind that pulpit and I preached the gospel from Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. The very first message that's ever been preached here from your pastor was from Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And there was probably about 5 or 6 of us here that night. Amen. All the fanfare of people coming from the other church to help us on our first service was all gone. Amen. And I stood in that pulpit and I preached from Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And I said to the spirits of hell, we are going to have a revival in this city. Praise God. Praise God. And I was so sick, I couldn't work for 6 months. Amen. The doctor that I met when I first came here told me there was no hope for me. Amen. And I'm telling you what, it did not look very good. Amen. It did not look very good. But I'm telling you that it doesn't matter tonight what it looks like in your life. It does not matter what's going on around you. Amen. What we have available to us is supernatural. Amen. It is the favor of God. And when God favors someone, you're not going to put them down. You're not going to stop them. Amen. You may try to hinder, but it's going to turn around to their blessing. You're not going to do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. Praise the Lord. You can't do anything against the church, only for the church. You know why? Because God looks favorably upon His church. What we need is the faith and grace. Amen. We need to understand the grace of God and the favor of God that has been bestowed upon us. Well, praise God. It was not just coming and talking in tongues one time. It was not just getting baptized way back when. No, it was the grace of God that brought you out of the world of darkness. Brought you into the kingdom of light. Amen. Set your feet on a solid rock and put joy in your heart. I said it put joy in your heart. It put faith down on the inside. And my question tonight is, where did all that go? Where did it go? I'm telling you what, it didn't go anywhere. It's still here. The grace of God is still here tonight. Amen. I may be 25 years older and maybe not as strong as I used to be, but I'm telling you tonight, God's grace has not diminished one little bit. He can still put joy in your heart. He can still put a song down on the inside. We just need to grow in grace, grow in grace, grow in grace, and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, let's give Him praise together. You can be seated tonight. God bless you. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost here. The grace of God took a brand new convert and saw a lame man healed. God saw a relatively new convert named Philip who went down to Samaria and baptized the whole city. Amen. And I can just see it in our modern day. Philip would be getting all kinds of phone calls. Hey, Philip, yeah, this is brother so-and-so. Yeah, man, how'd you do it? How'd you do it? How'd I do it? I preached the gospel. Well, yeah, I know that, but how did you do it? Was there a plan? Did you have a team effort? How'd you do it? Well, old brother Westberg, I remember him talking about it. I'll use him a little bit here tonight. Built a mighty church in Junction City many years ago, Revival Church. And somebody asked him, said, how did you do it? He said, we threw it out of gear and let God have His way. Amen. I could hear him say it tonight. No, really, what did you do? He said, brother, that's all we did. We threw it out of gear and we let God have His way. Amen. We didn't put it in gear and say, well, we got it. Now it's time to shift and now it's time to do the. He said, no, we threw it out of gear and we just let God have His way. And he said one of the men that he told that to kind of got upset at him because he thought he was holding back some sort of a secret. Amen. Now, how did you have, really, how did you have, we threw it out of gear and let God have His way. Amen. We threw it out of gear and let the grace of God take over. Yeah, we're doing things. We're working. We're applying ourselves and all of those kinds of things. But I'm telling you what, we're going to accept the grace of God or we will reject the grace of God. I don't know about you, but I want to accept the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And so Proverbs chapter 4 and 18 says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Is it getting brighter in your life tonight? Is it getting brighter or is it getting dimmer? Amen. Is your excitement at least the same? Amen. Or has it diminished? Amen. Oh, praise God. I'm telling you what, we've got to renew our mind. We've got to renew ourselves in the Holy Ghost. We've got to renew the grace of God, our commitment to the grace of God in our lives. Praise the Lord. You know what it means? We can't get into a standstill mode. Amen. I've got to go forward. Praise the Lord. And Peter said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. Wherefore, take unto you the grace of God. Really, you could just put that in there and it would be the same thing. Amen. The helmet of salvation. There it is again. The gospel. Praise God. You know there's power in death. When we die out to the old life, there's a power that takes place. That's why there are so many denominations. All they do is repent, but there is power in genuine repentance. There is a power that takes place. There is a supernatural power that takes place when we turn ourselves. We turn from the darkness and we turn toward the light. Praise God. And it's exciting. It's very exciting. But that's where they stop. I remember when I was a kid, there were some miners that got trapped in a mine, and it worried me as a little boy. I thought, oh, I would never want to get trapped way down underneath the earth. And it was so dark down there, they couldn't see anything. And it was like 30 days before they could get out of this mine. And they went down and they saved them and they brought them out. And I saw the pictures of them coming out of the mine, and they were all blindfolded. And I said, why are they blindfolded? And they said, because they've been so long without light that a little bit of light coming into their eyes will blind them. They're not used to the light. They're used to the darkness. Praise God. And when we come to God, we're walking into the darkness. And for some of us, we were way out there in the darkness. We couldn't see anything. We hadn't seen anything in a long, long time. If anybody came to us and turned on the flashlight, I've got a little flashlight Brother Charlie gave me. It's about that big around, and it's really good for putting a key in there. But you turn on a little bit of the light, and you shine it on them, and you say, God loves you, and they go like this. Yeah, yeah, right, right, okay, have a nice day. And they turn and they walk away. That's because they've been in the darkness so long. But if you just keep shining a little bit of light on them, after a while they'll say, you know what? I'm seeing some things I've never seen before. I'm beginning to perceive some things I've never perceived before. Amen. You don't quote Josephus to them. You don't quote the early church fathers to them. You don't talk about the commentaries. You don't talk about prophecy and wild revelations that you found on YouTube. Amen. I'm telling you now, we are at a place in our society today, in our Christian society, where they put a lot of stock. All you got to do is put it on YouTube, and it's the truth all of a sudden. All of a sudden, this is the way it is. There's a planet on the other side of the sun, and it's coming around, and it's going to kill us. It's going to collide with the earth, and it's a sign of the end times. Amen. The alignment of the stars. There was a woman, a sign in heaven, a woman, and she's about to have a child, and there's a dragon, and he's about to get her, and there's a lion, and so they look, and they said, at this particular date, all of these stars are going to be lined up in the same place, and that means the Lord is coming this year. And everybody goes, ooh, and awe. But I'll tell you what, when you look at it, those stars are there every year. And they rotate every year the same way. Amen. Every single year, it is exactly the same. It's been that way since God created everything. Amen. It's not anything new to God, and it's not anything new to man. Amen. But we take those things and we try to scare people. But I tell you what happens when nothing happens, they discount everything else that you have to say. But when you talk about the grace of God, when you talk about what God has done for you in your life, and when you talk about what God wants to do in their life, and you give them the gospel and talk about repentance and baptism and the Holy Ghost, there is a power that is released that nothing else will release. Amen. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The only way we're going to be saved is through the gospel. The only way we're going to understand the gospel is to hear it preached. Amen. The only way we're going to have faith is if we hear, and the only way we can hear is if somebody tells us. Amen. How beautiful are the feet of them that go to work and say, have you ever felt the Holy Ghost as it moves all over you? Did you know there's only one way to get baptized? That's in Jesus' name. Who are you? I'm a sower. A what? I'm a sower. I'm sowing the Word of God. And it's going to get in your heart, and you're going to have to consider this, and you're going to have to think about this. Amen. If you give them some spooky thing that's happening in the jungles of Uganda somewhere or whatever, and it's a sign of the end times, they're going to look at you and say, what? I had some folks tell me the other day, oh yeah, we didn't go to the moon. Nobody ever landed on the moon. And these are supposedly apostolic folks. And I'm not being critical. I'm just using it as an example tonight. I said, really? Oh yeah, yeah. And the earth is flat too. Oh, now that's a neat one right there. What about those pictures? Oh, those are made up by NASA. It's a government conspiracy. Oh yeah. Well, you're going to get a congregation put together, but I'll tell you what, I don't know what kind of congregation it'll be, where everybody says the world is flat. Amen. And there's a guy recently said the world is flat, and he shot himself up in a rocket 3,000 feet. And I thought, all that money and expense and time and everything to shoot yourself up in a rocket, almost kill yourself. So when he got up to 3,000 feet, he could take pictures and prove that the world was flat. I said, man, why don't you just get in a commercial airliner and go 30,000 feet? Amen. A couple cogs missing up there. Few French fries short of a happy meal. Not every tool's in the box. Amen. Praise God. Save a lot of money, effort, and time, and find out the very same thing. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. I know you're ready to be done here. But I'm telling you, the only thing that's going to move our world is the grace of God. And there's only one way that the grace of God is going to be made manifest to our world, and that is through the gospel. It is the gospel. Amen. There is power in repentance. There is a miraculous thing that takes place in baptism. And I'm telling you, there is something so supernatural in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. It is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Yes, we got saved from our sins, but that's not the only salvation that we need. Amen. We need to be saved time and time and time again. The devil comes along and we need salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Situations come along and we need salvation. Amen. Attitudes creep in and we need salvation. I need salvation. It always comes back to the gospel. You say, well, I already obeyed the gospel. You need to redo it again. Go back to that place of repentance again. Well, praise God. Paul said, I die once every 2 or 3 years. He said, I die daily. I die daily because I know that that's the only place I'm going to have victory in my life. Is when I die. There's only one way to have a resurrection, and that is if I die. Amen. You say, well, are we supposed to be baptized over and over again? No, that was the original remission of our sins, and it was in baptism. Amen. The Bible says, if any man sin, this is after the fact in the epistles, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous, who is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. That's repentance again. And so we must go back to the power of repentance. Say, well, I don't need to repent. That's your problem right there. Well, it's just a situation. No, you need to come to a place where you accept or reject the grace of God. And when you accept the grace of God, what will come out of your mouth is, God's going to help me through this. Well, praise the Lord. God's going to help me through this. And when you accept the grace of God, you say, nothing is going to come against me that can overcome me. I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. That's when I accept the grace of God and I move forward in the grace of God. But when we reject the grace of God, we say, well, you know, this is going to happen, and then that's going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and I just don't see how I'm going to make it. Right. Let's be honest tonight. We're rejecting the grace of God. Is God big enough to help you with your problem? Amen. How many believes that? Yeah, well, not every hand's lifted tonight. Amen. But I've got my hand lifted. I'm learning. I'm reaching. I'm trying to get higher in the grace of God and believing God. And it is a process. It really is. But if we ever get to the place where we're overcome by our situation, then we just need to go back to repentance and say, God, forgive me for not believing you. Forgive me for not believing in your grace and accepting your grace and letting it just leaving it in your hands. But we reject the grace of God when we take it out of his hands and we put it into our hands. And by logic, we try to reason it out. By our thought process, we try to reason it out. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to preach much longer. But I just feel this in my heart tonight. Amen. There's got to be some readjustments where the old renovate. The Bible says to renew your mind. And that word renew there means to renovate. Has anybody renovated a house? Got my hand up. Wished my hand wasn't up. Dear Lord, I think I'd have more energy tonight if I hadn't done that. 3.5 years renovating. Whew. You know why? Because it was about to be destroyed. It was ready to be condemned and get one of them big things and tear it down and haul it off. And the next day it's just a vacant lot. But it was worth salvaging. I felt like it was. And now I know it was. It was worth salvaging. And later, the other day, I was looking at all the cost that it cost me. I told everybody, oh, man, I got this at a really great deal. And it was, but every now and then, oh, it's going to cost this for that. Really? It's going to cost this for that. We've got to put new electric in there. Really? Well, can I do that? You can do as much as you want to do, but I needed them to do the outside. $5,000 just for electric. I said, I need a concrete pad in here. Those of you that know what I've done, you've seen the progress of it. There's $10,000. You just ask around, that's the going price. Some folks helped. Brother Doug helped me with a sidewalk, kind of taught me some things. I put in all the rest of the sidewalks by myself because I couldn't afford to have somebody come and do everything. And sheetrock, well, that'll be $575. Wow, that's only for half the apartment. Then all the work that goes into it. But you know what? If you see value in something, you're willing to invest in it. You're willing to invest your time in it if you see value in it. And then the day will come when you can look at it and everybody says, wow, that's beautiful. You can just stand there and smile like, it's no big deal. No, you don't need to do that. You need to just say as you go along, the grace of God is helping me. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says we need to renew our mind. Renovate your mind. How much are you willing to spend? How much time are we willing to spend for a renewing of our mind? Amen. How much effort are we willing to put in to say, this is so important to me, I've got to get the victory over this. And it doesn't matter how long I've got to pray through until I get victory over this. And God gives me wisdom to help me work my way out of this. It is worth the renovation. I'm tired of all these cobwebs in the corners of my mind. I'm tired of ceilings falling down in my mind. I'm tired of doors creaking and windows that can't open up in my mind. Amen. I want to do a renovation here. I want it to be all brand new. Praise God. Amen. You can take something very old and make it brand new again. Amen. If you're willing to put in the effort and the time. And that comes through the gospel. Amen. Repentance destroys the old. It tears out the old. Amen. And the Holy Ghost brings in the new. Praise God. We are renewed in our mind, but the Bible says that we are saved by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So we renew our mind, and then we are to renew the Holy Ghost inside of us. Amen. You know where the new comes from? It comes from the Holy Ghost. Well, I spoke in tongues for 2 minutes on Sunday night service. That ought to be enough. You know what that's, you know what? Sometimes, let's be honest here tonight. And I'm going to finish here in just a minute. Sister Reed, would you come? Just coming and worshiping until we feel a tingle in my right little finger. Well, that was God. I felt God. You know what that's like? It's like taking an old house and getting a bucket of paint and a little bitty paintbrush about that wide and about that long and painting a little spot on the front door. Praise the Lord. What are you doing? I'm renewing. I got renewed Sunday night. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. And then maybe 2 dips in the bucket. Yeah, I got a double blessing Wednesday night. I received something from the Word. Oh, I'll tell you what. We need to get a 50-gallon barrel and a high-pressure sprayer. And put it on until it's running everywhere. So when it's all said and done, amen, we can cut the trim in. We can grease the hinges. We can put in new light bulbs. Or if you're in Arkansas, light bulbs. Amen. A few new switches, cover plates. And when it's all said and done, what happened? Man, I had a gully washer. That's what they used to call it, a gully washer. You know, those old dry gullies. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But the rain comes down and it's just like a flood. I had a gully washer. It don't even look the same anymore. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. I'm not criticizing. Please don't take it that way tonight. But there comes a time in your walk with God where you've got to say, is this house worth salvaging? Is it worth salvaging? And you've got to say, yes, this is me. This is my life. It's worth the effort and the time. I'm going to put it into it, and I'm going to have a renewing of the mind, and I'm going to accept the grace of God. Did you know that when you got saved, the Lord told you, you can make it all the way? Did you know that what you got when you got saved was enough to make it all the way? Praise the Lord. We got the Word of God. We got the Gospel. We got the Holy Ghost. Our sins are washed away. It's enough to make it all the way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's like when you start out with God, all of a sudden things, you know, there's a log in the road. And, oh, man, we got so much energy and excitement, enthusiasm. We go out there, we pick that thing up, we push it off there, go back and get in the car, and we're just driving along. Then there's a boulder in the way, so we got to stop and push that boulder out of the way. Well, if you're not careful, after a while, you know, at first we say, in Jesus' name, it's gone. In Jesus' name, we push it over to the side. Another time, in Jesus' name, we clear that obstacle. We run into a ditch. We just get a shovel out. By the power of the Holy Ghost, we fill that ditch up and drive right over it. Yeah, I'm walking with God. I'm living for God. I'm doing the work of God. Then all of a sudden, you come up against the Grand Canyon. And you kind of swallow hard. Well, let's see what we're going to do now. This looks like a fiery trial. This looks like fiery darts that are coming at me. You know what? I'm looking at the face of that guy that's shooting the fiery darts, and he don't look very nice. In fact, he's looking at me like, I'm going to kill you. What do I do now? All of a sudden, we pull out our iPhone and we Google it out. Push the button. Siri, what do I do?
I do not have that information for you right now. I will take you to a place where you can find help. Here are the sites that I have found. How to cross the Grand Canyon. What am I going to do? The very same thing that you did when you pushed that boulder out of the way. When you moved that tree out of the way. When you filled that ditch in. Very same thing. It's going to be the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, we got a ocean in front of us. What are we going to do? We're stuck in this beach. And the road, the only way out is where they're coming from. What are we going to do? Just stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. And Moses said, let's move forward. And he held out the rod. And the next morning, God made a way where there was no way. Praise the Lord. Preaching to anybody tonight that may be discouraged, I'm preaching to all of us tonight. Amen. The best days of the church are ahead of us. The best days of your walk with God and your relationship with God is ahead of you if you will accept the grace of God and not reject the grace of God. Let's pray together. Can we right now?